Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Quarantine. I'm your host, Beth, coming back for more on the experience of quarantine. This quarter, I hope to keep to more of an overarching theme for quarantine, which is more on the adapting to the uncertainty and welcoming the unknown of what is 2021. It's a new year, and I want to spend more time talking about what keeps me going and finding little slivers of peace as we enter year two in COVID-19. With that being said, I have a really exciting agenda for this quarter, and I'm super excited to talk more about what's been going on inside and outside these walls. But today, we are talking about New Year's resolutions and graduating. I have a really good friend with me here today. Her name is Kaylee. Kaylee and I met in... We're class friends. Who can say that they have a really good class friends? Class friends are the best. Without further ado, here's the show. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Quarantine. I'm really excited to be back for season two. With me today is my friend Kaylee, and we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions and graduating. Kaylee, if you'd like to introduce yourself and say hi.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm a senior at UW. I'm studying education, communities, and organizations, and I'm minoring in diversity. I'm from San Diego, but I've been in Seattle for a few years for school.
You just came back to Seattle.
Yeah,
you came back because you were in San Diego.
I did. I was down there for a couple months to have a little reset with the, you know,
we'll get away.
Reality of being in college during a pandemic. And now a coup.
So. I know, I was going to say, first, let's talk about what your favorite meals were for Christmas, and then we'll talk about how the Capitol was stormed today.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Christmas?
I did have a good Christmas. Obviously, it was different than usual. I'm from a big family, and usually we all get together, like all 30-something of us at my grandma's house and make tamales and everything. But we did not do that this year because
next year
we take the pandemic seriously. Thank you. Oh, yeah. So I was just with my immediate family. And yeah, we just cooked food and hung out and drank and then did the same thing for New Year's.
Yeah, day in and day out. Honestly, I really did like this year. It, like Christmas, it took a lot of the pressure off of, like, coming home and having to catch up with extended family and explain what you're doing in life. I really don't want to, I mean, we're about to talk about that, but like you're talking with like your uncle that you haven't seen since last Christmas, who just is like, oh, how's, what are you studying again? You have to like refill them in every single time.
Yeah.
It's too much. But yeah, before we get into our conversations today on New Year's resolutions and graduating, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in DC, because I just think that it's worth touching on.
Definitely.
I'm pulling up Twitter.
We got to pull up Twitter.
Twitter is on fire right now. It hasn't been on fire. I've honestly not been on Twitter the past month and a half. Like, I've been on it, but it's not as like juicy as it usually is. It's honestly just stressful.
There is definitely a lull. I felt a lull in Twitter.
I don't know. I think
and
the
it
lull
took a coup
was
to really, really bring it back up to speed, I guess.
Like, I never thought. I never thought Twitter was going to get reignited by the coup. Maybe like New Year's and like, you know, 2021. But I saw a video of a congressperson like crawling across the floor today at like 1 or so. And I was like, I'm going to log off for the day. I'm going to log off of Canvas. Like, I cannot focus. It was very alarming.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I mean, just this year in general, I had a Zoom meeting today with a couple of my supervisors for my internship. And before we met, one of them had emailed us and asked if we still wanted to meet because she acknowledged what was happening. And we all were like, yeah, we'll still meet. So we did. But then we were just talking about how it's ridiculous to try to carry on with normal things, or it feels that way when this kind of stuff is happening. And it's obviously felt that way this entire year.
And it's like a joke. Today this happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is deeply upsetting.
Yes.
But I'm also exactly. like so desensitized.
Yeah. I was telling my friend, I was like, it's like my brain both can and cannot wrap around it. And there's
like, at what point do you decide like the threshold of like, this is too much to handle. I need to, I don't know, like go cope in some way.
I have no idea.
It's like when the coup's happening that I'm just like, oh, this is actually way too much. I want to like take a sedative.
I know. And I think just with capitalism and how we're just taught to believe that everything centers on work and the mm-hmm. idea of like, well, you got to get it done. I'm like, what really do we have to get done? I mean, I think I personally work in education. So obviously I do have to get it done because that is an important field, but.
Well, when your job is to serve others, obviously like how education is, mm-hmm. you feel like a duty to that. And like, yeah. I look at the guards or police who are supposed to be guarding the Capitol, and it's like, you guys don't care about your duty. Mm-hmm. You just open those floodgates. They're like, come on in, Proud Boys. The water's fine.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, hey, Jim. Saw you last night at the bar. Yeah, yeah, like,
at the KKK.
Want to hit up gambling tonight?
Yeah. So it's just something I think about, especially now throughout this entire year with the pandemic. And I'm like, what really needs to get done?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a
that's constant. A good question. Because when I'm having that pit of anxiety, which I've been having, which I didn't have over Christmas break, which was good. I feel like mm-hmm. those short 2 weeks really just took the edge off. But like ever since coming back to school, I have that nagging feeling of like, what should I be doing? Is there, you know, anything I should be getting ahead on? And then like absolute chaos outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, why would I do this assignment when
mm-hmm.
congressmen are and men and women are crawling on the floor of the Capitol?
Yeah.
In a pandemic and all these maskless people in the whatever building they were in.
The spike.
Is the Capitol a building or is that a place? Like, I mean, I know like
it's the U.S. Capitol building. Capitol. So it's where it's the Capitol building, not capital A-L, but capital O-L.
Okay. Because every time I Googled A-L, I was like, this is wrong.
Yeah. So
it's like capital.
D.C. is the capital of the United States. But then the Capitol building is where Congress works.
Okay.
Where the chamber is.
Okay.
Or why is this broken?
Walked in.
The chamber. And yep.
Literally walked in.
Took selfies.
Didn't have masks on. I mean, that was at least their worries.
I mean, they found bombs too.
Are you joking?
Yeah, they found two bombs. And there was another guy who had a handful of zip ties. Because, and you know, they've talked about different alt-right, Trump, whatever, social media, weird-ass platforms they have. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of rhetoric around kidnapping. I mean, those people try to kidnap the governor of Michigan, right? Yeah. And it's like, why else were you bringing zip ties in there? Your plan was to hold Congress people hostage.
Oh my God.
Because you guys are a bunch of crybabies. I don't know.
No, I truly believe that. I just don't even understand what really ended up happening, because they just let them in and then they were like, oh, now we will get it under control once they're inside. Mm-hmm. Like, they really didn't. I mean, besides breaking a bunch of shit and like causing mass chaos, like they really mm-hmm. didn't accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what they were really protesting besides make America or keep America great.
Yeah. It's just, fear-mongering, just, I guess. Yeah. Well, they wanted to stop Congress from certifying the election.
Right.
I was on, because the way I found out about it, I went to get a COVID test.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm not sick or anything, but yeah, I like to get them regularly.
Yeah.
And I came back, and well, it's funny because yesterday I didn't do anything really. I traveled and I just didn't. I just couldn't. And I told myself tomorrow I'm gonna really start the quarter. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna actually start doing real work. Yeah. I'm gonna be productive. Blah blah blah. Wrote out all the stuff I needed to do for that day. And then
the coup happened. Tomorrow is now the day.
So yeah. So then I finally sat down to start doing schoolwork, and I got a text from my dad in our family group chat, and it just says, "There's a lot of crazy stuff happening right now. Stay safe. Love you guys." And
I was just shit, Russell.
Russell. He's always
like in Seattle. Knows.
He always knows, and I was like, "What?"
I'm like, we're on the other side.
And then I knew, I was like, oh my God, it's something. So I just immediately ran to the news, and there it was. And obviously that's kind of where my eyes and brain have been glued.
Yeah.
8 hours or so.
Same. I mean, it's like the tall tale. We knew they were going to do something. Mm-hmm. Like when I saw there was a protest, I was like, okay. And when I saw they were climbing the walls, I was like, okay. And like, not that I've not seen white men climb things, but it's like, honestly, guys, get it together. But all I can think about like all day is just like, this is another like charade of our future we're just gonna have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we have to unravel the mess that is being created, and especially for the people who actually want to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we cannot exist in chaos or forever. So with that being said, a little bit more positively, mm-hmm. what are you like really looking forward to in this new year? I want like this new season, I guess, of quarantine to be focused on kind of like reflecting about how quarantine has been, and about like how we can get to a place where it's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, as opposed to like staying in the dark. So I want to look at the light. Let's get deep. Looking forward to about this new year, and we're both graduating this year.
We are, thank God.
I know.
I think honestly, and this is also about politics, but it not, because politics permeates normal life, but I am very hopeful and grateful to be having a new president in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I really am hopeful that will change. Not enough, but hopefully a lot. Like, there's always going to be problems, but in regards to COVID,
err on the side of hopeful as opposed to err on the side of disastrous.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what our brains have been altered to, is just always preparing for disasters and knowing that it's going to happen in these past 4 years. Like, we're so not used to normalcy
so anymore. So we like are surprised when the government does something that's in good.
Yeah. So when I saw Biden's pandemic COVID response team, and it's all healthcare professionals and medical professionals, and I was like, oh my God, wow.
What?
And then I had to take a step back, and I was like, why is that shocking? That's literally because I'm just shocked not to see Ivanka and Jared and whoever, all the other ugly
random
looking people,
just randos. There is a person out there for every job, to the point where you would think that running a country would seem pretty like manageable.
Yeah, you would think
running a country during a pandemic, like, yes, there's gonna be, you know, bumps in the road, but at least have a doctor on the front lines like making decisions, not Trump and his kids
or his kids whoever else runs in his circle of criminals. Yeah. But beyond that, I think I've seen a lot of growth both within myself and my friends. I've had a lot of conversations with friends about the ways that we've grown internally throughout this year. Is that because we've had to spend so much time alone or time doing nothing? Mm-hmm. Probably. And then it's like, you know, I hate that mentality where people like, sometimes it takes this negative thing to have this positive thing. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Like, this year is definitely, last year is definitely all about gaining perspective. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you going to do with that now? Like,
yeah,
are you going to continue to not wear a mask and whatnot?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's hard to really be like, you know, even though 348,000 people have died, I am glad that I was able to grow.
I am more well-rounded.
No, hell no, I can't think that way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think any of my friends really think that way, or probably a lot of people, but I mean, it's definitely was a reality for a lot of people where this has been a time of growth and self-reflection, and how that has expanded beyond just the personal. Because when I think about social media, like TikTok especially, which obviously became a lot more popular and a lot more used this year,
right?
And I saw, especially when it was kind of more the real quarantine, because people say quarantine, I hate when I see people, they're like quarantine, but they're out, I'm like, you're at a restaurant. How is that quarantining?
I know.
Or like when quarantine or summer, like, they're like
quarantine actually on vacation. Going on.
Yeah, exactly. But
people are saying like they've been in quarantine for a year. And I'm like, no, you have not. Yeah. The pandemic didn't even start a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. But
I'm like, guys.
But what I meant was in the springtime, like March, April, May, when it was really, there was more actual shutdowns happening and the school closures and all that stuff. And I saw, especially with youth, a lot of content on social media talking about like me before quarantine versus me now. And there's an Amber Alert happening right now.
I actually just had that on my phone and I was like, that's been going on a lot. There was another one the other day, which is sus. And I hope they find them.
Yeah, geez. Just chaos today, Jesus
Christ. Literally. Dr. Fauci thinks UK COVID variant more widespread in the US than known. Sorry, I literally just went to open my phone to look at the Amber Alert and then Dr. Fauci's making statements. Sorry, what were you saying?
Love Anthony.
I do too.
Anyway.
the other day.
Happy birthday. So I saw a lot of social media content, especially on TikTok.
Transformations.
Yeah, TikTok has definitely been a platform, a huge mode of self-expression and creativity for a lot of people, and especially young people, which I think is really cool. And that makes me really hopeful too, because I think acceptance
and just pure sharing of people's experiences and stories has such a strong, like, it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like my little siblings, even though they're all homeschooled, know so much more than I did at their age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because they're like opening up their like mind and stepping outside of their comfort zone by, you know, being on TikTok and like exploring, I don't know, all this different content, but they just know so much because of how people take the platform and like use it for such good.
Yeah.
Like, we such have information.
Especially really young kids like your siblings and, you know, people their age and my little cousins and stuff. They have, I mean, we also had way more access to information than our parents did, or like older millennials, but it's just even better now because the things that you're like you're saying, they get to know and they get to learn about and literally just see through their phones, through that easy access. There's just incredible access to information there. And
yeah, for sure. And I think because Trump was the him becoming president created this catalyst for information. Like we needed information at that point because fake news and whatnot. There was a lot of worry about people spreading misinformation, and the kids just took it upon themselves. Like
to troll the president.
Like get proper information out there. Like remove, you know, fake accounts, like literally bully
dox people.
Like little Republicans off the internet. It's
Guy Jackson.
Literally, it is the most
doxing racist.
It makes me feel better, so much better for the next coming generations, because I'm like, you guys are at the ground running. Like you already know so much about, you're already so aware of the issues. Whereas like I didn't know like the ins and outs of capitalism until I got to college and was in liberal arts school and like I don't know, learning all about it. Like I didn't have a reason either when I was living in the suburbs to know, I don't know, about anything outside of what I needed to know about living in the suburbs. And I don't know, my siblings live in the suburbs and they know a lot more than I did at that age. So I'd say like information being spread on the internet, it has negatives, but it has a lot of positives and it gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah.
For this.
Definitely.
For this new year and for, our new president.
Yes.
And vice president.
Yes. I saw a TikTok. I didn't send it to you, but I remember seeing one that was a while ago during election week in November where someone said, I don't think Biden is going to be the 46th president. I think he's going to be the 47th president. And here's why. And I forget what exactly the details of their reasoning was, but they're essentially saying they think that something's going to happen in the last few weeks of Trump's presidency where he would be removed from office.
Pence take his place.
And Pence would be 46 for a couple weeks.
Could you imagine?
And then Biden becomes like 47. The but day. Then now this is happening. And I'm seeing that they're starting to write up articles of impeciment. They're talking about using the 25th Amendment. And then
Pence is like dumb. Like, he literally changed his cover photo on Twitter to Kamala and Biden.
No, that was a joke. That wasn't real.
Is that actually, is that him? And
no, that's him and his wife.
And his wife. I like, that doesn't even look like the back.
No.
I need to like people because they're literally spreading that on Instagram. It's embarrassing.
I know. That's the part we're talking about. The dangers of this social media is the misinformation. Obviously, there's been worse misinformation spread that literally led to what we saw happen today. Wait, where is
what?
How many different accounts does he have? Okay, I was looking at Mike Pence's Twitter. That's not him and Kamala. Or that's not Joe and Kamala.
Dude, he looks like a rectangle. Pence is shaped like a rectangle.
They're just both old white men, so of course they look the same.
No, but even then, I'm like, that's not Biden's head. Biden has less hair. He has more hair loss. He's older, which is also so alarming.
His hair is so white. But yeah,
he really talks like my dead grandpa.
Oh, God. I know, he is very grandpa.
He's so grandpa.
How funny.
Are you ready to graduate?
I don't know. If you would have asked me that question even just a week ago, I would have said yes, because that's what I've been feeling this year. I just want it to be done. I'm just ready.
The pandemic has really beat school with a stick.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. I'm just like, oh, this is.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not the experience I want.
Yeah. And I was just like, it's not, I really don't think much is going to change before June.
For sure.
So that was my mindset. I was just like, And that made me sad because I've loved my time here at UW and I've loved my experiences that I've had here. And last year, I would have never thought that. Last year, I was like, I don't want to be a senior yet. I'm not ready. I know how fast the year goes by and it just makes me really sad. And then to where I am now, where I'm just like, fuck it, I want it to be done.
The universe has a really weird way of showing us.
Yeah. Then a couple days ago, I had, I think, which I hope is fairly normal. I think it's fairly normal. The little mini existential, I'm going to graduate crisis/ breakdown. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, I'm not ready. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And
I don't know anything.
It's true. And then, you know, Russell again, my dad.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Talk to me and
I bet he was
brought me back down to earth a little bit. And it helped. But I think it's just the normal thing that I imagine everyone goes through when they're getting ready to graduate or knowing that they're going to graduate in that year. But plus the weight of the pandemic and how it's affected because we're not getting normal transitions. My life is on the computer and it's just on the computer for school, on the computer for graduation, and then I'm just going to start a job?
On the computer for,
okay. And that's just really sad.
It is.
So.
And it's in the hardest, well, there's a lot of hard reasons, but I think a really hard thing about graduating during this pandemic is like, honestly, the expectations of just never like being able to put yourself in this situation. Like you never thought forward when you were a kid or, you know, high school graduation, whatnot, being like, I'm going to go to college and then graduate during a pandemic. Like people have graduated during like a recession and people have graduated during transition of a bad president. Like all of those are really heavy and create obstacles. But this one is like so layered. There are so many things that like play a role in like the anxiety of leaving school. Most of it's just simply like structure that school can give you and the lack of structure we've had. It's like, okay, so what do we even have to look forward to? It's like, our job's gonna be structured, like our job's gonna be
exactly, you
know, like we have learned to check in with professors and email our TAs and stay on top of our things. You know, on our own, because no one's going to hold our hand through college. But like the pandemic has brought even more of just like walking in a dark hallway and like touching walls. Like, I hope I find a doorknob.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And I definitely feel that way too, of not knowing what to look forward to, because I mean, I always knew live life to the fullest and you could die any moment. Like I always knew that, and I think for the most part, I had a good understanding of that, and I've always lived my life to the fullest and unapologetically because of that mindset. But at the core, you always know, you always have some predictability, or at least for me, especially
coming from
a lot of the privileges that I have. But then now, there's no predictability. There's hope. There's questionable hope. Because it's just true. It's like there's hope.
I know. Because in the back of my head, like as you said hope, I imagine it with like hello P's and E's and like, question marks. And then the background of the entire, if it was a slide, it's just like Proud Boys climbing a wall into
There's hope.
The only hope is we can definitely assume white men can just walk right past police into a government building.
Exactly. And not even a government building, like the second most important government building. Like it's the White House.
Like the storming of the Capitol. When I last saw that sentence, it was in Hunger Games book 3.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Mockingjay or whatever. I never read that one. I'm not even gonna lie. I never even saw. I only read and saw.
You saw the movie today.
The first one, and the and Catching Fire. I think the Mockingjay one. I just read the epilogue.
Good. Honestly, isn't that like the afterword when they have kids?
Yeah.
That's when it's happy ever after.
Yeah. But not even, because I feel like Katniss is always just fucking sad.
The epilogue of this. I know, but
she had trauma.
I kind of identify. I had daddy issues and like, I don't know, had to like kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, and then like her little boyfriend guy, but not even Gail.
I killed know, her and sister. Then she fake fell in love with a guy and then was like mad about it. I'm like, well, what did you think was gonna happen? How did her sister die?
Gail killed her. Spoiler. 10 years later, died.
But like, how did she die? I don't know.
They like blew up District 12 or something.
Oh God!
And she was there.
Still back there. She's always the damsel in distress. I'm tired. Get a shield, Prim. Get a sword and a shield.
Damn, I don't think a sword and a shield would really protect you from being blown into bits.
She's got like daisies in her hair.
Oh my God. Her name is Primrose. Isn't that type of flower?
I'm sorry, Prim. I actually just envy you.
And I'm
mourning.
That bitch did have it fucking easy though. Her sister did everything for her. I'm sorry.
I know.
I was thinking about this the other day, actually, because I was thinking about that specific scene where they draw her name. And then Katniss says the famous line, like, I volunteer as tribute. And I was thinking, I said, damn, because I remember the scene before Prim's all nervous and she's like, don't worry, it's not going to happen. It's such a slim chance, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be you. And then it happens. I'm just like, that fucking
classic.
That sucks. What are the chances your first time being entered in that draw and then. And you're like fucking 12.
I know, because every year you get like your chances. That's why Gail was in like 48 times or something. Yeah, and they call PETA. I'm done. Keep talking about Hunger Games. Oh my God.
We read that book in sixth grade. That was our class reading. It was
really
the hype. It was like right before the hype. My teacher, Miss Morales, hello if you're listening.
I hope
so. She is not, but she she gave us this book to read, little 11-year-olds reading about this dystopian
society. Like, what do you feel, how do you feel about that as a future teacher going into education?
I'm not a future.
I know you're not gonna be a teacher, but if you were, since you're in the education field, would you give sixth graders the book Hunger Games to read?
Yes,
you could prepare them for a day like today.
Yeah, I think a lot of it went over my head
for sure
at that age, like maybe not sixth grade, maybe like eighth.
Oh my gosh, ninth. Like that was like a weirdly romantic book too. I remember feeling like the little willies of like, oh, this is kind of like
little willies
wrong, and like I don't know, I feel like they're in a cave and they're about to like kiss. Oh my God, like so.
Yeah. And then everyone hopped on the hype after that. And I was like,
and everyone was like,
back. Oh, I already knew about this. Thank you. I read it in sixth grade. Okay.
Children about
overthrowing governments. Thank you very much. But no, I don't think I would give it to a sixth grade class, maybe eighth grade.
Yeah, I agree.
11 is a little young. Little Kaylee did not fully understand
what was going on there, because there was like some
governments at the time.
Yeah, there was some like really twisted stuff in that book that I remember kind of being disturbed about, like when the players died, the dogs at the end that were like really aggressive, which was sad. I was like, why?
I don't even remember
the dogs. They all had the faces and features of the people who had died, so it was like coming back from the light, you know, and like coming for round two and like venging. I just don't like that. It made me uncomfortable.
I do want to rewatch the movies though. They're actually very interesting. I think they're on Hulu or
I
something.
I find them very artist. There's a lot of artistry in them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way they were casted and I find them really pretty.
Yeah.
It's just to talk about the Hunger Games. But like Loki, that movie, that whole series was kind of go off.
Mm-hmm.
And like Suzanne Collins had a point.
Yeah,
kind of knew what was coming. You knew storming the Capitol was relevant, not in the right way though. They were storming the Capitol for some good reason.
Yeah, not really the case this time.
Mm-mm. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about change and adapting to it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about that a little bit, but I want you to talk about a time that you had to deal with a big change and how you adapted to it. She's a really good storyteller.
So now I have to think. So I didn't think of an example before because you sent those texts and I saw democracy crumbling.
I'm like, night before, like, I don't know. It can be like literally anything. Like, I don't know. Not getting into your major or like, I'm trying to think of now my own like stories of change.
Moving.
I guess when I moved. Like, even just like, I don't know, like grieving someone.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Yeah, what are your, like, coping skills? Because you're very emotionally well-rounded.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I definitely had a couple experiences with big changes.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times with moving. Because I moved from Chula Vista in San Diego, which is South County and near the border.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there for 11 years. And then when I was 11, we moved to Carmel Valley, which is in North County. Very white, very affluent town. So that was a huge change that I dealt with at the time and still deal with internally because of how different I was and my experiences was, my knowledge was at such a young age than all years.
What you said about it being internal is like a very intuitive thing. Like, I really like that.
Yeah, because
it's definitely so real.
Yeah, my identity myself as someone who is, my mom is white and my dad is a non-white Mexican-American man, and being the product of that, but then also having immense, immense privileges because of the sacrifices that my dad made to go to school, to go to grad school, mm-hmm. to give his future family a life, a family that he didn't even know yet. So that my brother and I never had to experience any struggle, essentially, or anything that he did.
Yeah.
But they were always very good at, both my parents, at explaining that to us, as making us knowledgeable about differences and privilege. And mm-hmm. my dad was always very transparent about his experiences and his struggles with racism and hardship and being poor mm-hmm. and living in a very racially divided town
mm-hmm.
and police mm-hmm. being police towards him and his friends, and just a lot of things that I will personally never know from a firsthand experience, but have that knowledge because, I mean, they do say that trauma is passed down.
Yes, it's in your bones, bro.
It's in your veins. So I had the knowledge that way, and had that knowledge intrinsically, spiritually, I guess, through my dad and my other family members' experiences, where I just understood things, understood the world in ways that my peers in Carmel Valley didn't.
It's a lens.
Still don't.
Yeah, you had a lens.
So, I mean, the first day of school at the new elementary school, because there it's elementary is K-6. So okay. I started sixth grade, and when we moved there, I started sixth grade, which was the last year of elementary school. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the very first day, I was one of three Mexican kids in the entire sixth grade, and I'm half mm-hmm. also at right. that, but and the other one is my close friend Vanessa mm-hmm. She was also new. The very first day, I heard this white girl who was literally the Antichrist.
She's when you were wait, this is when you're in sixth grade.
Yeah, okay. Tell I'm not gonna say names, but tell the other kids,
social security and address now. Will they go to?
I heard her say to the other kid who I knew was one of the few Mexicans to go make her a burrito, to quote. That was my introduction to Carmel Valley, San Diego, moving from Chula Vista, which, like I said, it's near the border, is predominantly Mexican-American people, and Black people and Filipino people. So that was my introduction. And that's when I knew, okay, this is a big change.
This is going to be a road. This is going to be a different,
So I never actually told my parents about that experience until I was 18 and had graduated high school. I never told them. And I think because I didn't want them to feel more guilty than I knew they already felt about us moving.
Right. And it shouldn't have ever been something they had to feel guilty about, because it was for the better.
Yeah, it was for good reasons.
But little Miss can't keep her mouth shut.
So I told them when we were 18, because we have neighbors that are also are interracial mixed family, and we were hanging out, and I told that story, and my parents were just horrified, and they just asked me, why did you never tell us that? And I was just like, I don't know, I was 11 and traumatized from moving and scared, but also because I knew that they felt bad and they were grappling with their own anxieties and hardships about moving their kids to, I mean, it wasn't that far away from where we were before, but it was worlds apart. And
right, and like you said, like no matter what, like when you uproot your identity, it's going to be internally, like you're internally going to notice the difference even years and years later. Like that story is still like ingrained in your mind, like, what, that was sixth grade, 10 years later.
I mean, there's a lot more I can go into depth about my identity being reflected in living in the two places in San Diego, because it can be a book in and of itself. But in regards to adjusting to the change, I mean, I was young, so part of it came naturally, because when you're the younger you are, the easier it is to make friends and not take life as seriously as you do if you were to move older.
And I don't really know. I know kids are a product of their parents, but I also just feel like younger kids are not as racist because they're not looking.
That's what I thought until
damn, like I don't
know. That little bitch said that.
I mean, I guess 11. I feel like that's when kids start becoming like really like
can be problematic.
It's like when they start like the two sides of their brain start like,
I mean, it's learned behavior.
It is learned. And you know, learned having been observed when you were younger, like I don't know that, I mean, kids, it was still going to be predominantly white, but I don't know that kids would have like even registered to say, you know, anything to like look at your outward identity to like make a comment about it, especially like just being like so out loud. Just like, welcome. Here we go.
School.
Yeah. But so, like, that's what I'm saying. You're so emotionally aware, even at 11, to be able to be like, mom and dad, I got this. You're like, I'll do it myself.
I mean, especially, I think, too, I have a younger brother and I've always been protective of him. And I, you know, I knew that they were nervous for him being younger than me and going to the new school too and making friends also. So I really just took that to heart and I was just like, I will remember this. But just keep it inside, I guess, for
something. But I guess I'll keep it buried. Dude, I literally do that too. Like when I was 5, this is not in any way the world's the same, but I was bit by a dog and it was because when I was 5,
oh my God, I remember
it was really aggressive and I knew that, but I was like, I'm gonna show this dog, and I went up to him and I was like, go home, and then I like with my little 5-year-old hand like smacked him on the back and I like told, I did not tell anyone I touched that dog. I was like, mom, I was like feet away, like back to me. And it wasn't until I was like 18 that I was like, I actually provoked that dog. And I was mauled in the face for it. So I don't promote
that's
dogs.
Scary though
dogs anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, I think also my closeness with my family has always been something that's been so beneficial.
Dude, it's my life and you can see it, like your closeness with your family.
Thank you.
So yeah,
I've never even
adjusting to that, change.
Yeah, but you know, you're friends with my mom on Facebook, so
Alice sees me.
You guys know each other. But yeah, I think they've always been really reliable. I'm so lucky in that they are really reliable people that I have to lean on and that help me through change and always help me put things in perspective. That can still acknowledge my feelings and my experiences, but also help me put things in perspective and feel grounded.
Yeah.
So I think that's just, I've just been lucky enough to be equipped in that way to deal with change. And I guess I didn't really realize that or deeply understand that until I came here, because going to school out of state in a state where I have no family and had no friends, really. Well, I had like a couple friends that I knew when I came to UW already, but no one that I was close with. Everyone that I was closest was 1,000 miles away. So that's just, that forced me to grow a lot and be very independent. And I'm sure you understand
the growing pains are heavy. It forces you. It kind of like puts it in like fast forward too. Like I noticed that amongst my peers who, you know, like nothing wrong with not going to school outside of state. Like very privileged to be able to leave the state of Illinois, towards Washington. But it does force you to grow up when you are not near family or friends. I mean, I met you like in the spring quarter of our first year. You were like one of my 2018. First
friends. Yeah, you too. I know, I remember we met spring quarter and I was so sad because we only were friends for like 3 weeks and then I left to go to San Diego for the summer. But I always knew, I was like, I think I'm going to be friends with her forever. I always thought that, like, I was sad because freshman year was very up and down. I struggled a lot to make solid friendships and friends that I actually felt.
People are flaky.
Yeah. I felt close with, I felt authentic connections with. And then when I did, I was like, fuck, I'm leaving in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But
I'm never letting go. I know, and here we are, literally. I mean, I think we ran into it. I don't know if it was that quarter and next year, but we ran into each other at a party. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was the following year.
Okay, cool. Because then I remember being like, oh my God. And then we were like, that was history.
Yeah.
We were like good after that. Yeah. And now we're going to be like grad soon. And then we get to like talk about, I don't know, what life's going to look like post pandemic. Speaking of that, do you have like high hopes for post pandemic?
Yeah, I'm like,
is that real?
Is that real?
That's an option.
it has to be real. Sometimes I think I'm like, people don't know when the end of the world is. Like, you're never gonna think that you're gonna be part of the end of the world,
right?
Who knows? But no, I think there will be a pandemic
tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to going to a bar.
Oh my God.
Because I haven't done that.
You have been 20.
In Canada, I have.
No lie.
But not properly going wrong in the United States.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to, the other day, I was just really wanting nothing more but to sit in a Chili's restaurant and order a 3-for-$10 meal and get drunk with my friends off their cheap margaritas.
Dude, Chili's.
And like, just Chili's slaps. Chili's slaps. I know. It just shows you.
Chili's is just Midwest vibes.
Craving that simplicity of life and just.
No, but I get that.
Worrying about things. I was like, 3-for-$10. Can we talk about that? 3-for-$10, you get a drink, appetizer, and an entree for $10.
In what world?
In Chili's world. Okay?
Is there a Chili's in Seattle?
I don't know.
Do those prices exist in Seattle?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Maybe
it's so good.
Maybe we'll have to might as well just wait till the end of the pandemic to just make it.
There's official. One in Spokane.
Oh my God.
No, it isn't the same. No, it's not. it's not the same. But yeah, that doesn't exist in Washington. I guess that should have been a disclaimer. Sorry, Washingtonians. I got everyone's hopes up. It's not the same. That's California and probably other places.
Those are chilies in my hometown too.
Anyway, but so that's the point. It's like, I really, sure, I'm excited to be able to like go to a concert or mm-hmm. big things, I guess. Just
stand in a group of
but
people.
But I also just
got a mask miss, on.
Yeah, miss the simplicity.
Yes.
Miss the 3-for-10s.
Miss
with your friends.
Miss the things that we like just always like took for granted. Mm-hmm. It's just like little things. Mm-hmm. Which exactly. like I always wondered with the way things were getting so shiny and like touchscreen and all that, like, were we just going to continue going down this road of just like easier and easier and easier and more convenient, mm-hmm. more convenient. Mm-hmm. And it honestly scared me. Like, I remember when Instagram's a good example, when Instagram was just like peak addiction, like everyone was really worried about how many likes they were getting on their pictures and whatnot. And it scared me because I was just like, where are we going to go? Like years from now, are we still going to be like posting, you know, our pictures of our babies and be like, oh my God, I got a million, like, you know, like likes on my picture of my baby. Like, I don't want that. I don't want to be like having a baby.
Hey, sorry. Sorry.
I don't know. Baby's a weird thing. I always just think of like the end all be all of like.
I'm a baby hater.
I don't know. I just think about like a point in your life when you're officially an adult, and like I didn't want Instagram to have so much power, mm-hmm. and now like the pandemic has low-key ruined Instagram, and I'm really happy about it.
Instagram is ass now. I was literally talking about this with my friends.
They had a
not even an hour ago
platform. It was toxic as hell, but like
now it's just ads, influencers, algorithm.
I don't even see people on my timeline.
Yeah, I have to specifically go search up a friend that comes to mind.
I wonder what Kate.
Yeah, I wonder.
Let's go see her most recent picture.
I just look at the stories, really, if I'm looking at anything. My friend, like I said, we were just talking about it. My friend, he's an artist. He's a DJ too. His name's Gabriel Ancira. I'll shout him out at Ancira.
Oh my God! Wait, I know your friend. Is he the one from New York?
Yes. Well, he's from California too, but he goes to NYU. Yeah, he's awesome.
Party.
But he uses Instagram obviously as a platform to promote his music and promote his work.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about how he hates how he can't authentically post what he wants in his creative intention. He has to always be catering to what the algorithm will like because it's his business. He needs to promote his music. Yeah, that's just really frustrating. And I feel like when I think about Instagram, because we were talking, the debate was Instagram versus Snapchat, which one should retire, essentially.
Okay.
And I think I still like Instagram more than Snapchat. But yeah. I think that's more for the aesthetics of the stories themselves, because Snapchat stories just look kind of ugly.
Instagram is is there for like dolling yourself up in a way, mm-hmm. like making yourself look good, and then Snapchat's mm-hmm. there to be like, what's up guys,
I
bought Chick-fil-A. What are you guys doing?
I
just use Snapchat to talk to my, like, I have a mass like sibling group chat, and that's like,
yeah, I have that with Snapchat my cousin for.
Which is so fun. I literally like have been able to keep up with all 8 of my siblings because of Snapchat. Like literally talk to them every single day, mm-hmm. which is a blessing in a pandemic. Instagram, what have you given me?
Infographic
disorders.
I saw a tweet that was like, we're about to get infographicked to death again.
Yeah, because crying. Of the coup. I know. Mm-hmm. I saw one that was like, wear a mask and guillotine your president.
Yeah.
I'm dead. There was like, actually
how to know if your friends support domestic terrorism.
Terrorism
with guide.
The like, sparkles around it and the like Christian girl font. Oh my God. Where do we live? Okay. So yeah. I wanted to ask about like your career, because I just like when you talk about things you're passionate about. And I don't want, like, as a little like ending to this conversation, you don't have to talk about like specifically what you want to do as a career, but like, I want you to like little, tribute to soul, like talk about your spark and your purpose. Like, what do you want to get out of your career? Yeah. Shout out Soul. Honestly, that movie, I've seen it twice and like,
yeah,
I don't usually watch animations anymore.
Oh, like, I definitely do.
I know you do. I guess I just don't like think about them as much. Like when they come out, I'm not like, oh, gotta go see the most recent Pixar. Like, I was really happy to watch Soul. It was so like literally heartwarming. And
yeah, I think
nice.
And it was, I literally watched it last night. So it's funny that we're talking about it because I watched it with my friend and I was saying how, because like mainly the message, at least that I interpret from the movie, is not to get caught up in that sense of purpose, and that your passion and your dream for something doesn't necessarily need to define your life when it ends as good or bad.
Right.
Like when Joe says to, well, this isn't really a spoiler, but whatever, kind of alert. He says to his mom, if I don't essentially like become a musician, I feel like if I died today, my life would amount to nothing. And then I saw in the mom's character's face just drop. And that really got me thinking of like how much people get caught up in letting their job or their really specific dream or passion define their life, and they let everything else just pass them by. Because I was just like, that must be horrible to hear someone say that to you, who you're part of their life, and you're like, well, wow, just because,
mom,
like, yeah, just because you didn't,
perhaps he was her purpose. He's like, yeah, God damn, like I was none of yours, like,
yeah. And it's just like, just because you didn't achieve one thing,
yeah,
doesn't mean that your life amounted to nothing. And I think,
well, and also, like, if you think about like the butterfly effect or whatnot, like the effect you have on other people's lives, you can't discount that if you're just looking at what you're doing all by yourself. Like, nothing gets done when it's all by yourself anyway.
Exactly. And I think like, it's not to say that who cares about having a passion, it's not important. That's not what the message is. It's that it's okay to have multiple things in your life and have all those things
and
be
have
your
multiple
spark
reasons to live
and be your purpose.
Multiple, like multiple growth spurts in life, like transitions, evolutions. I love that concept.
Yeah.
I did really like that movie.
Yeah. And I think it was important, especially now, because I was saying, when people talk about things that they miss about quote unquote normal life, pre-pandemic life, for the most part, they're talking about the simple things, the like mundane things,
being able to
people
hug your mom, like little things like that.
Yeah. And it just goes to show like that's truly what defines your life, and it's okay if you don't achieve certain dreams that you wanted to as long as you're enjoying the things that are right in front of you.
Or
because they can be taken away. Like Chili's 3 for $10. Did not I took those for granted. No, but seriously, yeah. So I think I used to get caught up in that idea of purpose, especially as a teenager, because everything seems like
big.
Everything seems big. Everything seems like you got to figure it out. It's the end of the world.
Defining.
Especially when you're going to college and they're like, okay, what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
They're like, what's 17? Your major?
Like, yeah,
major depression,
major anxiety. I'm a teenager, okay? I
like
don't
not
have
being
emotional
able to
regulation
to see what like I have to look forward to tomorrow.
Yeah,
like I don't know,
but I think if I was asked that question when I was 17, 18, 19, I'd be like, my purpose has always been to be with people and help people and whatever, because that's what I love to do. I love people and I like working in systems that need to be changed.
You're the challenger.
People. But I don't think that's my sole purpose, but I think that's something that I'm I don't even know, honestly, meant to do, but that I just do, that I feel authentic in doing. Mm-hmm. And that led me to major in education, communities, and organizations, and diversity.
Yeah, dude, that's so dope.
I think that, I don't think, I know that education is the foundation for society, and a broken education is a broken society, and
mm-hmm.
it needs to be fixed if people want society to be more prosperous and equitable. It has to start with education, and I couldn't just ignore that because I get overwhelmed by so many things that go on in the world, and so many things that I'm passionate about and that I'm worried about and that I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was picking my major and thinking about that reality that I face of that overwhelm,
mm-hmm.
and I was learning about the eco major, is what we call it, I was just like, this is it, because
this is the stuff.
You can't do everything, you know, you can't tackle every single problem, but if I can be in the field that is the foundation, that is the root for everything that I'm passionate about,
and that the society functions on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we started this conversation off talking about how important education is.
Yeah,
like making youth aware,
mm-hmm.
and so like fueling their soul, mm-hmm. and like burning their flame.
Mm-hmm. And then also just the other components of the major, communities and organizations, and how also much
super important.
I've learned the importance of community and being in a community, and how when you are serving others or working within communities, that there are experts there that should be the leaders. When you're talking about like white savior complexes and mm-hmm. things like mission trips and other forms of volunteering where privileged people take over
because
they think they know.
It's like a self-discovery for themselves,
mm-hmm.
more than
so,
helping.
I've just learned so much, and especially working in the middle school, like I have been for the past couple years, doing college and career readiness work.
That's so cool.
Yeah, doing direct work with students, with communities, is just, it just feels right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to say it's my purpose,
but it helps it feels you right. Narrow it down.
Yeah,
like I don't know, feel closer to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone has one soul purpose anyway.
Yeah, thank you, soul.
Thank you, soul.
Thank you, Joe Gardner.
Thank you. Everyone watch Soul.
Yes, and if you can't because you don't have Disney Plus, then.
Get it.
Hack it. I don't know.
Find someone who has Disney Plus.
Yeah. But yeah, so then for post-graduation career type of thing, I don't know exactly where I'll end up or what I'll do. If this year has taught me anything, it's really like you don't know shit.
Don't make plans.
You don't know shit.
It taught me do not make plans.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna completely flip them upside down. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow there may be a coup.
And a coup in a city near you.
A coup in a city near you.
You're back?
I know that I want to continue doing work that I do, mm-hmm. at least in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Working within community organizations, working with young people. I don't know, working with people in general. I just love to work with people. Work in communities. It's fun. It's fun. It's hard, but it's really,
you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, you learn so much.
Like how
so much,
how issues work. Like how mm-hmm. issues start. How things are structurally.
Yeah.
How issues are structural. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, exactly. Kaylee.
Thank you for having me.
So good. Thank you for all you bring to the table.
Oh, you're welcome. No, for real. This is a really nice conversation.
Yeah, it was really nice. I really like
things
having these conversations like recorded, because it's like I can look back on this.
Mm-hmm.
like years from now and be like, oh my God, like Kaylee and I met each other in English 202. And then we talked about graduating together on my podcast I started.
And then what's next? We'll see.
And then what's next? We'll
That's
see.
That's exciting though.
Exactly.
Think about.
It is.
And that concludes our show for today. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I'm so excited to be back and have this wonderful opportunity to share all my thoughts with you all, my ideas. I am so lucky to have this privilege of having a podcast, and I am just really excited for what's to come this quarter. Anyway, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you guys all had a really good new year, really good holiday season. This year is going to be so much different than last, and I'm just really looking forward to everything that it has to bring. Peace and love. I'll see you guys next time.